Would encourage you to turn with me to Lord's Day number 7. For any of you that have been following along, there's a parallel table in the back. It has the striped pages. Well, I don't know that. I haven't done a scientific investigation, but there's more references to the other three forms of unity in this Lord's Day than there has been for quite a few. And of course, Lord's Day 7 is in a way where the rubber meets the road. We've identified Jesus as the only Savior, the mediator of God's people. We say, well, how do we know this? Well, it's the story of Scripture. And that's really what we're going to look at today in our message from Galatians. It all comes together. It all anticipates. It all points to the fact that Christ would come. And so we come to Lord's Day 7, and now it asks some pretty good questions. I'll read the questions, we'll read the answers together, and I think we will just do questions 20 through 22 as we incorporate the Apostles' Creed into our evening service, at each of our evening services. So questions 20 through 22. Are all men then saved by Christ as they have perished in Adam? No, only those who by true faith are engrafted into Him and receive all His benefits. What is true faith? True faith is not only a sure knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also a hearty trust which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel, that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. What then is necessary for a Christian to believe? All that is promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith teach us in summary. The Catechism has spoken thus far with great and bold strokes, as it were, with a paintbrush, a big wide one, including all and every under the stroke of sin, of guilt, of the consequence of sin. In fact, if you look back to Lord's Day 5, it begins, since then by the righteous judgment of God, we all deserve temporal and eternal punishment. How can we escape? How can we be delivered from the consequence of this sin? And then that begins the discussion, right? Well, can we satisfy for our sins by ourselves and go to heaven? No. Can we find another creature? No. Can we find another volunteer? No. What we need is divine help. We need one who is true and righteous man, at the same time true and righteous God. And who is that mediator? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Scripture describes as being our righteousness, our sanctification, our salvation. And how do we know this? Well, it's the story of the Bible. Many of us don't know, aren't as familiar as we ought to be with the Scriptures and the storyline, but it's a process, right? We do this dust to glory, Old Testament, creation of dust, creation of mankind, to glory, the end of all things. And the more and more familiar we become with Scripture, with the progress and the story of redemption, the more we see, the more we're reminded that, yes, these things are so. And so as we progress then to Lord's Day 7, the question now is, with these broad, bold strokes, well, then, are all men saved by Christ, by the Redeemer? And the Catechism answers quite emphatically, no. Do any deserve to be saved? No. That any would find favor, that any would find grace is pure, pure unmerited favor from God. And that's exactly what it says, isn't it? No, all men are not saved by Christ as they perished in Adam, but only those who by true faith are engrafted into Him and receive all His benefits. True faith, engrafted into Christ, receive His benefits. I read a quote from Martin Luther just, I think it was yesterday or maybe it was even this morning, and he said that faith and a transformed life are inseparable. He says it's like trying to describe fire without light or heat. If you have fire, you're going to have light and heat. And his connection there was, well, if there's true faith, it will result in a transformed life. So much so that where there is faith, there will be the fruits of faith. And where there is the fruits of faith, it points back to the reality of faith. And then it defines it, right? What is true faith? We could have a couple of our catechism kids just rattle this off. And I think it's great that they hone in on this one, because it's key. What is true faith? True faith is not only a sure knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word. It's not only that, but it is that. You believe the Scriptures are true. You believe that they reliably communicate divine truth, wisdom for life, direction for living. And of course, that is what they are. It is that, but it's not only that. The second part goes on. But also a hearty trust, which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel, that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. The biblical faith, the genuine faith, the true faith revealed in Scripture is life-changing, is transformational. It reorders all of our priorities. And it draws us and brings us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord. What then is necessary for a Christian to believe? All that is promised us in the gospel, which the articles of the Catholic undoubted Christian faith teach us in summary, which is the basic teachings of Scripture. And if you think about it, why must we believe what this confessional statements? Well, because that's how God has conveyed His truth. That's how God has communicated His Word. And we believe what it says. It is clear, understandable, authoritative, and so much so that I think it's the Athanasian Creed is kind of hard to read because it's so tedious, but at multiple points it says, unless a person believed this, they can't be saved. And what they're saying really is that faith believes what God has said, and faith embraces the truth that God has given. So we'll continue our reading, our study of this in future weeks. On the back page of your bulletin, there's just a couple articles, and one of them just contrasts. You know, those that hear and don't believe, the fault is not in the gospel. The fault is in them. For those that hear the gospel and do believe, the credit's not to themselves, it's to God and His grace. And so in all things and in all ways, we are brought to humble ourselves before the Lord and seek to worship and serve Him.